Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Very naughty, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Kosovo scored 3 at St Mary's. Ronaldo scored his 93rd international goal and the Premier League returns. It is wonderful to have you with me.
It is
Luke,
a question of wonder.
With Pete, that's Pete there, and with Jim.
Hello.
Wonderful scenes all around as we do the preview show, the final show of our week before the blizzard on Saturday.
Indeed.
I'm doing a little live video here now so people can see it and watch it a bit later on.
Lovely.
There we go. Just in case they think we've made it up.
Hang on, you were having a go at me last week for being too visual.
No, that was actually Marcus with Jim.
That was Marcus with Jim, was it? Oh, right,
I have no problem with any of your behaviour.
We're not going to go at you. We're questioning your behaviour.
Yeah. Marcus, you mentioned Kosovo scored 3 goals.
Yeah.
What do you expect if you host an illustrious England friendly at such a venue?
Yes. St Wembley's.
No, we're not. No way is that catching on. I will personally make sure that doesn't catch on.
Yeah, well, of course... We remember when England drew, was it with Macedonia, now North Macedonia, of course, in that 2-2 draw, which ended the international career of David Seaman prematurely.
Yeah, well done. Well done. Yeah, I feel partly responsible for taking the piss out of Bulgaria for their attempts at playing it out from the back, because we came unstuck very early, didn't we? As we did against the Dutch.
We always did like a Bulgarian impression.
Yeah.
It's an homage to your beef.
Yeah.
It's your Bulgarian beef.
It was a violently open game at St Mary's.
It really was, wasn't it?
I was saying to Marcus yesterday, we chatted briefly about it, and I was saying that when you're in a boxing match, sometimes you get a boxer, like a proper artistic boxer, who steps in, steps out, is very light on his feet, good footwork, and he's a pure technical boxer. And you get a brawler.
Yeah.
And what can happen is when a brawler fights a technical boxer, they think, right, the best thing for me to do here is to drag him down to my level and have a brawl fest with him. And that's what Kosovo did to England.
Yeah.
England didn't need to get involved in a lot of this stuff. They just did. And
are England a technical boxer?
England are much technically better than Kosovo.
Okay.
And I think they probably got dragged into something they didn't need to get dragged into. And we didn't have anyone... sort of in the latter stages of the game who could look after the ball well enough.
Was that youthful exuberance?
The
from
exuberance
England?
Of youth, possibly. Yeah,
yeah. I think that, you know, England were 5-1 up at half time, you have to remember.
Yes.
And it could have been, even though Kosovo scored those 2 goals in the second half, England still should have won or scored 6 or 7
Absolutely,
goals.
Yeah, 100%.
And you know, England, it was clearly complacency. There was clearly a switching off. It was 5-1. It was, oh, this is so easy. We can go and score more. My sort of problem with it all, it was the big realization that I think most people really do think, and that was proved against maybe the Dutch in the semi-final of the UEFA Nations League, is that England, this kind of talk of, oh, how can we do in the European Championships next summer? Could we go and win it? Could we? You compare England at centre-half and in midfield to the French, even the Dutch, the Spanish, I would even say the Portuguese. Yeah. England are short of those teams, and it was really. I know
we need Jose Font. That's what you're saying.
Massively need Jose Font, but he's made his decision, and and we all have to live with that. But and it was a long time ago he made that decision. He never made a decision. But, I've got bogged down.
We are still here. You carry on.
I think that's the thing, is that you don't want to go too crazy because it's a one-off result and it's a crazy game and blah-de blah-de blah. But England, I think, if they want to do something next summer properly, we'll desperately need Joe Gomez.
But can I go a bit further and perhaps pose a question to you guys?
Yeah.
People would have heard on the content yesterday us talk about the idea that attacking is the way forward. Now, not that many teams can defend very well. Even teams that you would think of as good teams who do pretty well at club level, like Dortmund, have conceded a lot of goals this season. We've seen teams like Chelsea who stand out as being quite poor without the ball. Now, there may be different reasons for that. But most teams now are trying to attack. So is it just a case of we're moving into an era...
We're going to score.
Is it a case of that we rely on ourselves? Of course you want to be as defensively disciplined as you can and you want to keep the back door shut wherever possible. But is it not a case of now the most important thing is in football that you can score a lot of goals?
Well, maybe, but look at France in the World Cup. When they beat Argentina 4-3, how Argentina scored 3 goals,
yes.
I don't know, Jim. But they did.
Which should actually be some comfort to us.
Indeed. And in the final, of course, with Croatia 4-2, one of them was a howler. But they scored the goals when they needed to. But look at that semi-final performance against Belgium. Mm. It was 1-0. It was incredibly tight. And England can't do that.
Not currently, not yet. But I think the point Luke's making is an interesting one, though, because perhaps defences almost appear to be leakier than they would do in other eras because there's an overload in terms of how much teams are pushing forward now, which is, I suppose, why five at the back has become a fairly popular thing. I mean, we spoke for years about how cool it would be to see that. It felt like it was something from another era that was
like
only ever experimented
three
with.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's just pretty normal now.
Depending on which team you're playing, if you're playing a team a little bit lower than you, what they do is that if they hit on the break, if they manage to nick a goal, then they just pack the box and then you find it very hard to break them down. So maybe, you know, attack, attack, attack is the way
I think teams are doing more attacking now, though. That's my point. That's traditionally absolutely right. And maybe you'd extend that and say that even was the case going into the World Cup last year. But that's a year ago now. Things do move on quite quickly. And I wonder whether, you know, teams are thinking we back ourselves here. I mean, look what Norwich did against Liverpool and against Chelsea as well.
They lost both games.
Yeah, no, but that's not the point. The point is Kosovo lost this game.
Yeah.
The point is that lesser teams, are they trying to attack more? And if they are, do we then England to bring this right back to England again? Southgate has been committed to Barkley, Rice, and Henderson in the middle of the park for these two qualifying games. England will qualify anyway. Do we perhaps then, I'll throw it back to you, Marcus, in certain situations, do we need someone who can lend the ball out and get it back again?
Of course. Rice, Barkley and Henderson is not a bad midfield. You know, Henderson, obviously European champion. I mean, Barkley isn't the player I think a lot of us want him to be because he's got the raw materials and he's still young and all that.
Well, you say that. He's 25 now.
Okay.
And I think at that point,
fair enough.
A point where Barkley's not, I'm taking you away from your point slightly, but are we still waiting for him to become consistent? He's not shown that he can be consistent yet. And that is a concern for me, that Southgate seems to have a lot of faith in him.
Yeah, so that's a fair point. Rice is still young. That trio, that midfield, will not frighten France, Spain, Portugal, Netherlands, even Germany. Won't frighten them. Mm. You think of that French midfield, it's night and day. And again, that is no disrespect because that English midfield is decent. Mm. But I'm afraid that when it comes to kind of really trying to win a tournament, you're going to have a bit more. And England up front look very exciting. That we can all agree.
There's options.
Do defensive players genuinely frighten a very mobile team anyway?
No, but I'm
you're
saying
those... going and making space and just being.
Well, I think what Marcus is saying is that France aren't going to go into a game against England with that three that you've listed there and say, oh God, we're not going to see much of the ball here.
Or we need to nullify that.
They're going
to
say, they're going to say,
we'll play our game.
Yeah, and we'll turn over possession quite regularly, thanks very much, because we will be able to do that.
They've got the one thing England do have with the incredible Raheem Sterling, he should probably be called now.
That lift over the goalkeeper's leg, it did not need to be taken. The normal pass would have been across the ground, but he saw the keeper's leg coming and he just lifted it beautifully. Oh my, I could watch that all day. It was wonderful.
I mean, Sterling now is a world beater. I mean, you could argue he has been for a little while, but he just looked phenomenal. England looked very good on the counter. My point is, I don't think they're good enough to sort of defend and soak it up and then counter. But England, the good thing about that is teams, if they do push up against England and try and squeeze the play, England will get in behind.
Mm.
And if they're wary of England's threat, then they're probably less likely to squeeze the play. So and that front line does give England a bit of
breathing. But in a way, that plays into our hands. So what you're describing there, which is exactly as I see a game between England and another decent international team at a tournament right now, if there was a game right now, what you described there is exactly as I imagine a game to go.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue that plays into England's hands.
Yeah, but
it just depends whether we can win 5-4 or lose 4-2.
It also does depend on how consistent that defence can be in terms of a really crucial thing is just not making mistakes. It's one of the things that's good about England's forward line. They're so good they can make the opposition make mistakes, but the problem is that England's defence can have that done to them.
It's contagious.
Absolutely, very much so. And is this a personnel thing? Because
possibly.
They're just showing the players what to make the other team do. It's like, pick one, make them do this.
I think if you bring in, Joe Gomez, I think is probably the best English centre-half at the moment. If John Stones can get back to fitness, and I know he made those errors against the Dutch, or that one particular one. But I think, good options still. So that could help there. It's the midfield where I worry. And the problem for England is sometimes what's happened is if they want to pass it out from the back, other teams, like we've seen the Spanish do before against England, they press England and England can't get it to the forwards. However, that away win in Spain that is still fresh in my memory, that first half England was superb and they were 3-0 up at half time. That front line is where it gives England a chance and a bit.
And the key thing you're absolutely right. And the key thing to impress upon this is that go back to, I don't know, World Cup 2010 or even Euro 2012. The thing is, the reality is that those players, Sterling, Kane, Sancho, you've got players to come in those positions as well. Rashford, Mount,
Hudson-Odoi
when he gets fit again, Madison or whatever. You've got a chance. You always got a chance if you've got really exciting forward players who can get you goals. Sterling's got 8 in his last 8 for England now.
He's been great.
He's a brilliantly improved player. I think something that's gone under the radar is how improved Henderson has been. In the last 18 months or so, I think he's been absolutely fantastic.
Oh, he's such a leader.
Yeah. Right?
And I mean, obviously that's always been in his game, but it just it looks like it's second nature to him to control a midfield at his absolute best, which is really, really great. But there's been a lot of talk about Harry Winks maybe coming in for Declan Rice as a way to just sort of, basically keep the ball better in the middle. What do you guys think about
that? That's what I was saying.
Yeah, I think Luke's often champion Winks, and I agree with you, Luke. You'd think he would be an excellent player to bring in for England.
I think it's important to understand that in that particular role, you don't have to be the kind of guy who tears around everywhere tackling people and winning the ball back.
Because
a player like Winks won't necessarily need to do as much of that because he doesn't waste the ball. So he can lend it out, get it back. And what that does, I mean, I feel like when you're, what were we at 5-1 at half time against Kosovo? If Winks is in there for the second half, with due respect to Kosovo, Winks at his best, he will dance around them and he'll lend the ball out, he'll get it back. And to be honest, after about 25 minutes of the second half then in that situation, Kosovo, the wind's out of their sails. They know they can't score goals. What actually happened? Well, they scored 4 minutes after half time and felt like they had a chance. And that dragged it down to the street brawl that I was talking about earlier, where maybe with someone like Winks in there, you don't necessarily need to get into that situation.
Is it time to think about Jack Wilshere being sort of brought back into the fold?
I really would like to see Kosovo get to a tournament.
They
look like a fun team. I enjoy watching that team.
Did you enjoy Big Bernard? Their manager?
Oh, he's great.
Bernard Chalande? Is it pronounced the Swiss coach of theirs? I mean, character. Did you see him walking down the tunnel at half time?
And then realising there was a camera.
Yeah, it was great. Fuming, and then he saw the camera and there's a little smile.
But he had a couple of looks at the camera, continued to fume, and then sort of did a proper little, almost like Tim from The Office aside to camera.
I think Kosovo go to the Czech Republic in November, and if they win that, they'll have every chance, because of course one of their other games is against against England again, isn't it? So they'll probably struggle there.
I'm just glad it wasn't one of those results for England. Yes. I mean there was a Kosovo, they hit it just wide, which would have made it 5-4. Mm. If that had ended 5-all,
that would have been funny.
Of course it would have been funny. Like in the wider context, it would have been hilarious.
Because a lot of celebrated international teams, like I don't know, Argentina, Spain, they have these aberrations. Yeah. One of Spanish ones would probably be the one against us, really. But like they have these aberrations in qualifying.
Well, like when France drew 0-0 at home with Luxembourg.
Exactly.
Or when Northern Ireland beat Spain. Do you remember that?
And England.
Unbelievable.
Well, of course you want those kind of things, but it's just when it's your team, you go, maybe not today. Yeah. Do this to somebody else.
Is this a useful wake-up call, though? Because there is people are starting to say, how can England win this? Which is insane.
Exactly.
lest we forget. Changed.
Well, yeah, exactly. I think
a kind draw, Jim, is what we're on.
Yeah, that always helps.
Yeah.
No one scored more goals than England in qualifying so far. We are unbeaten since 2009, isn't it, in qualification games. So we're obviously a decent hand at this kind of thing. You've got to fancy them to do something. And I think if the only thing we can level at them is the fact that they make individual mistakes. Mm. I reckon I could make a decent argument to say that in a big tournament, in a big game, concentration will be higher.
Yeah.
So they might better eradicate that anyway.
It's not the individual mistake. I think it is comparing the midfields and the centre-half partnerships. Because I think England, good up front, we talked about that, good at full-back. Fairly happy with Pickford in goal. I think there are other better keepers and so on, but you know,
I think he's the best of our bunch, exactly.
That's what you got to work with. It is that kind of.
He gets the rave on in a way that no other keeper
can.
Exactly.
No other keeper even
considers getting the rave on.
Pete, you're the man in this room most likely to get the rave on. What do you think about Pickers?
I'm thinking about getting the rave on with Pickers right now.
Does game recognise game on the rave front?
Must rave recognises rave.
I just like to see good feet positioning.
Yeah.
At a rave. I just need to see him moving. I want to see him covering all the bars.
Safe hydration. Safe hands at a rave.
Safe hands, yeah.
Absolutely. Scotland lost 4-0 to Belgium.
Well, that'll happen.
Scotland are rubbish. They are dreadful at the moment.
Well, of course,
absolutely dreadful.
But would you consider, you know, Scotland the rave, that kind of thing.
they're doing something wrong.
I mean, it's looking increasingly likely they'll need the playoffs to qualify.
No, they are saving themselves for the playoffs.
Yeah. Indeed.
But the worry is, though, that they were so bad. It was like a training exercise, as was noted in every bit of commentary or punditry about it since, that they could go into that playoff so demoralised. They just balls it up.
Yeah. I forget how the playoffs work. Is it semi-finals then?
Yeah, semi-final, home and away, and then a final.
Exactly. So it's not a one-off game.
Well, I don't know who they're going to play yet, though.
Well, sure.
Even
but
so.
But if it was a one-off game...
Yeah.
Well, I know it's a two-legged affair, a one-off tie, should I say, and they were drawn against, I don't know, somebody like maybe Norway, I don't know, whoever, I can't think off the top of my head. Mm. You'd think, well, there's a chance, but semi-finals then go into that final playoff to go through. The way they're playing, you just wouldn't back them.
Let's be fair to them to some degree, though, because Belgium are a very, very good team, and once a team like that takes the initiative, it's very, very difficult to wrestle it back from them.
Yeah, I mean, Belgium, another side, when I was talking about those teams that I think are ahead of England, I'd put obviously Belgium in there as well. Yeah, they are a phenomenal side. So I don't think we're having a go at Scotland for losing to Belgium, even by a few goals. I think it just extends the chat on Scotland, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think in that playoff situation, we have to wait and see how the dust settles. But I think in the semi-finals, because there'll be a bracket of four, and in the semi-finals, the fourth best ranked team plays the best.
Yeah.
So it is important for them. I suppose they can't have control over all of it, because it depends who misses out elsewhere.
It's always a good idea to win games.
Yeah, and that was going to be my final point. Like, if you're not winning games, you know, if they go away to Russia next, and I think they're at home to San Marino.
Yeah.
They get pumped by Russia away, and they struggle over against San Marino because of the pressure and all the rest of it. And I think they only beat San Marino 2-0 away, and they lost 3-0 to Kazakhstan, of course. They've been given an extra chance here, and Scottish fans will be thinking, oh God, typical Scotland again.
Well, compare Scotland-Belgium to Northern Ireland-Germany.
Yeah.
Even though both home sides lost, it's night and day.
Mm.
I know Germany missed a few chances, and it could have been a few more. Northern Ireland had a couple of moments.
Yeah, well, they started very brightly as well.
They had a chance to go ahead. Okay, fair enough.
And a chance to draw level.
Half, it was like Germany are hanging on. It's really funny.
That's the thing, and it sounds trite, and a little, perhaps, dare I say, a little bit lazy to say Scotland need to essentially emulate.
Well,
what
they tried
doing.
To get the manager.
They have to, yeah, they have to do that because you have to be realistic. You've got to be great in the sum of your parts. The Northern Ireland team, we talked about it around, I think, Euro 2016. How many players did they have to choose from realistically? I think it was about 40.
Yeah.
And they still do really well, relatively speaking. So Scotland needs to try and emulate that if they
massive
can.
Massive lack of intensity as well for me, the Scotland side. They're just not running.
The whole atmosphere around Scotland, though, Hampden and all that, fans.
It can be a real asset, can't it?
It can be, but again, you compare that to, was it Windsor Park? You know, it's pumping.
But also, as well, you know, go down a goal early to a team like Belgium.
Well, we don't want to isolate the Belgium game. I mean, again, it's a sort of a general kind of malaise. Northern Ireland was so unlucky because I thought, God, if they'd got something out of that, they'd have started dreaming. Elsewhere in qualifying, Ronaldo scored 4 against Lithuania. Should he have been given that one?
People would have heard the debate we had yesterday on the continent.
I want to know these guys' views.
So I said that under the law, it is his goal. And we talked about, for those who haven't heard it, we talked a bit about it coming back off the post, hitting the keeper and going in. If it does that, it's the keeper's own goal.
Yeah.
I wonder whether politically it's going to be more trouble than it's worth trying to take it off him.
Well, I think if you look at the way he hits the ball, he hits it sort of slightly into the ground with a spin on it. He's hit it in a way that is, the intention is to make it difficult for the goalkeeper. And it is, I think it's fair to say it did do that.
Fair to say the keeper joined in on that.
So I think clearly Ronaldo's intention was to do something, if not obviously not like that, because you'd have to be a psychopath to think in those sort of terms. But
psychopath for things like that.
But yeah, I think it should be his because the problems the keeper had were very deliberately caused by Ronaldo's technique.
Keeper own goal, Ronaldo assist for me. So I am only going to count 92 of those 93 goals.
Dog at least stick to that as well. The rest of your
life. Remind it.
He's going to overtake Ali Daei, isn't he?
He is. Do we know what Daei's on? Do we remember? Is it 102 or 3 or something?
No, he's on 109.
That's 109. He'll get that.
Yeah,
you'd think
he will. He'll be playing until he's 41.
Oh, at least until he gets the record. Before we go to emails, we talked about Somalia beating Zimbabwe in the first leg. They lost 3-1 in the second leg.
Oh, gutting.
And it's even worse when you dissect it because the dream is over. So Zimbabwe scored on 77 minutes, so that brings it level. Mm. 1-1 on aggregate. Somalia equalised on the night on the 84th minute, put them in pole position. Zimbabwe hit back a couple of minutes later. Somalia were still good on away goals. 92nd minute, Zimbabwe knocked them out.
If they'd gone through against Zimbabwe, how many more stages would they have had to qualify?
They would be a seeded team at Qatar. No, they would have been.
Look forward to it. England 4, Somalia 5.
Well, normally the European nations, in terms of World Cup qualifying, it's done. I don't know, how will it work in. Oh, Qatar's is in.
Oh, yeah, better
so,
off on
so
that
it
one.
Will be about a year before. Because it's normally done in sort of October time.
Right.
But I'm just trying to get at the fact that they've still got a long way to go, even if they win that.
My point is that the European nations are now qualifying for the European Championships. And then they will finish their qualification, usually the October, the year before the tournament begins. Somalia's campaign has started now.
To go into the groups for the African qualifying.
So they are a long way away.
It's rare that a team is an underdog against Zimbabwe, isn't it?
It is, Jim, it is.
A good way to look at it.
And shout out to Seychelles, who were able to conspire to lose on aggregate 10-0 to Rwanda.
I think they've beaten 7. On
yeah, they were. They lost the first leg 3-0 and the second leg 7-0.
Yeah.
I do love these little nations, although I wish that San Marino would go by their full title. Any of you know what San Marino is actually known as?
No, go ahead.
It's the Most Serene Republic of San Marino.
Nice.
That's delightful.
Cape Verde, after their exploits in recent years, were given a bye straight to the second round anyway, so they'll still be in the mix-up.
Nice! There we are. Yeah. And now it's time for emails with PTD. Email show at footballrambledaily.com.
And now Pete is reading it out. Well done! Emails, right, so...
Pika Pika.
Hello, Pikachu. You all right, mate? What's that?
Pikachu.
Yeah, Luke in Nagano in Japan's email was a crock of shit on Monday, wasn't it? Yes.
Pika.
Uh-huh, and according to emails from Nick from Norwich, Jim Neal, Jack Wells, Finn Morris, Mark Kelly, Dean Chu, Simon Cardi, and at least 15 people on Twitter, Pikachu does indeed have 2 evolutions.
Pikachu?
Yes, yeah, and Charizard does now evolve to Mega Charizard X and Charizard Y, but only when a Mega Stone is used. Yeah, that's very interesting, Pikachu.
Pika.
Sorry, what? What was that?
Pika, Pika.
You've been watching a lot of InfoWars and you want to let everyone know that Alex Jones's Super Male Vitality Supplement really put some lead in your pencil?
Pika, Pika.
Right, I think you need to go, Pikachu. Pikachu. It was not a false flag, Pikachu. Get out. I don't even know why you're here.
We may show it for.
You can stop emailing now.
Nice to see the bees are back.
Yeah.
Can we pre-wreck every email section?
It's the only way I can read them out properly. Yeah.
Is that genuinely the email section for this week?
The only one we've got is Tom Jenkins about Richard Keys. Do you want a quick one on Richard
Keys? Yes! Oh, yes! Of course. Well, what's he evolved into? His... I think we know.
A bigger hey, ball bag.
A bigger dinosaur.
Yeah.
Oh dear. His wife's caught him evolving again. I was searching for Richard Keys' Mighty Atom blog, but it looks like the website's gone. Richard Keys' blog is no more.
Your key to sport?
What key are we going to use now to get into sport?
Reading his little blog reading the blog on Owen and Shearer's beef, though, it's clear that nothing's changed. At least he thinks that Mike Ashley shouldn't have to put his hand in his pocket when discussing Shearer's time as Newcastle manager. It's a great shame that Alan Shearer wasn't afforded the chance to put things right the following season, after obviously he took charge. I don't know why he wasn't, but I'll guess it was something to do with money. I remember telling Alan at the time, tell Ashley you'll do it for nothing. You've had enough money out the club down the years. Tell him to reward you at the end of the season. My thinking was that Alan could do something that no one else has ever done and make himself a real hero. Tom says, so 148 goals in 303 appearances doesn't make you a hero then.
I thought you were going to say, do something that no one else has ever done and actually listen to Richard Keys.
what an amazing attitude to take after the fact as well. It's like, well, I told him how to fix this scenario. Do you remember listen to me
when he said
the ramblings of a gibbon?
He seriously suggested that if Rafa Benitez wanted players so much, he should pay for them himself. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how would that work? Like, when you leave Newcastle, do you keep them?
Yeah. He's got his registration.
Bad news is I've been fired. Bad news for you, and you. You've literally got to come with me.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do with you.
Not
but
you,
we'll
Ashraf. Ashraf Lazar, you can stay here. Yeah. I don't want you.
I've got a football pitch in the back garden. You'll be fine.
And now it's time for a quick break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Email us, let us know.
Yeah.
Show@footballrambledaily.com.
What did you say our email address was?
Show@footballrambledaily.com.
I'm sure you said the football ramble.
No, I didn't.
I think you did.
I didn't.
Got a lot of emails about that as well.
Play it again because I didn't actually hear it.
Put Pikachu back on.
Email us. Let us know.
Yeah.
Show@footballramble.com.
Oh, that is a VAR one.
The thing that gets me is Luke is... Right, imagine how annoying it is to be really bad at admin and just be an absolute mess.
I occasionally
don't turn up with trousers on. You know, I'm a real problem. But Luke is peerless when it comes to being on it. And it fucking bores my piss, guys. Luke, it really upsets me. And it never ends. And so you just get one little mistake like that, and that's all I've got. That's all I've got to dine out on. I'm starving. I'm starving.
I don't think I say it.
I'm not sure either.
Shut up!
Marcus can rule.
Right. Email us. Let us know.
Yeah.
Show at footballramble.
Oh, but it could also be show at football. It's
no, it I, is not Jim Campbell.
We're going to need to slow that down. Maybe this
coward!
Is
coward.
Maybe I don't know. I'm just calling it as I hear it.
We simply cannot use this entire show to get our bonnet empty of bees. Marcus,
I'm afraid that I think Luke said it correctly.
We're going to have to slow it down, Pete.
Genuinely. I'm not just saying that.
For those watching on the camera, I'm doing the old...
Don't hate me,
VAR.
Peter.
The laws of the game are not fit for purpose.
Because it's too much down to people's interpretation.
Will you change your sort of mind?
You three. I think even Luke's on my page more than you two, Marcus and Jim.
Will you change your mind on VAR if this turns out to work out in your favour?
And to be fair, Peter, in your defence, you did refer to yourself as a real problem. Yeah.
Chaps, let's move on briefly.
My wrestling name,
because I want to, a real problem.
I should say though, welcome back to the previous show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway.
Thank you very much for that.
The
Marcus.
Betway.
Speaking of admin, that was a very vital piece of admin right there. We are playing live around England and further afield, maybe later in the year as well. We'll come on to that at some point, but. RambleLive.com is where you get tickets. We do really want you to come along. It's going to be fantastic. And I thought what would be a nice thing to do to give people a bit of a visualisation of how it works and what type of show it is I would throw to you guys your favourite moment from a live show we've done in the past. And I will come... I'm not going anywhere near Pete for this first. Marcus, you go first. You.
The thing I love about the live shows is the good listeners are there. They're with us. They are with us. And one of my favourite moments, and it does involve slightly mugging off Pete, is when we led the whole room in a sing-song after Pardew had left Newcastle. Although we were still doing the whole "Don't it always seem to go," and the whole room were absolutely loving it, which was great. But I also enjoyed one of the shows we did after the FA Cup final, and there was some raucous Arsenal fans in there
and some raucous Chelsea fans.
There was
that
indeed.
Was like a sort of working man's club in the 70s.
Yeah, it was great. And I recall one particular pundit or punter, rather, not pundit because you're the pundits, one particular chap who just wouldn't shut up during the thing, even when I told him to shut the fuck up. And Jim quite nicely told him to get his own podcast, which got a big cheer from the audience.
When I was thinking about my favourite moment, I kind of staggered myself that I ever agreed to this, and this has got Pete's fingerprints all over it.
I do
a little quiz, and I'm going to be doing one on this tour as well, and people can jump up and volunteer to play, and they're going to win a prize, and I think the prize is probably going to be quite good as well. We were talking about that last week, but for some reason I agreed for Pete to make me blindfold the guest who was answering the questions. And every
should you say this, because we might do it
again. Every time we are not doing it again.
Why not?
Every time they got a question wrong. Every time they got a question wrong, Pete inched closer to them wearing a gimp mask, and it culminated in Pete giving them a lap dance.
Hang on, it wasn't the only thing that Pete was wearing.
We can't go into that.
Okay.
No, that's my highlight.
I also accompanied Pete to the sex shop to purchase said gimp mask. Yeah. That is what this
and
live show
item.
Reduces
and the other
to.
Item.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It wasn't technically a gimp mask. It was a
dog
leather
mask.
Wolf mask.
That's right.
Yeah, you had a gimp suit on, did you?
I had a sex toy connected to my body, but my highlight was definitely after the show. I donated it to a keen listener who proceeded to slap his friend so hard in the face it nearly knocked him to the floor.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, when you say enjoyable. Donated it, I want to clarify that.
It was box fresh.
Can I also say that Pete is still too scared to claim that back on expenses.
Mm. Yeah, not unreasonably.
The thing, what like about, I've never been to another football podcast, Jim. I don't know whether you have.
No, I haven't.
But I like to think we're like the primates of Madagascar, where we've kind of evolved in a different way. We've got no natural predators, so we've got like a little bit weird. And a little, yeah, exactly. We've evolved in a very strange way.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get the usual kind of four men sat on a fucking stool yapping on about, you know, the Premier League action.
I mean, you do get that.
There'll be a little bit of that. There'll be a super sort of quantum of that.
That's there to fulfil the brief, isn't it, really?
We should also say, unlike Madagascar, we're not very vanilla.
No.
Right.
Well, exactly. That works.
I don't understand.
Madagascar is famous for its vanilla.
Is it?
You get Madagascar vanilla flavoured ice cream, for
example. Well, there'll be none of that chat on the show.
We're Neapolitan.
There'll be music. There'll be games. There'll be crowd interaction. There'll be all kinds of nonsense.
Yeah.
And possibly a dildo.
Indeed. Well, but you have to buy another one, though, presumably, unless you and the guy have a sort of an arrangement.
A favourite moment for
Right, so I'm going to very quickly go through three, because there are too many. So the first one, we come out on stage in Winchester. We all get a big cheer. Luke comes out, gets booed. We're like, what the hell is that? Oh, we're near Southampton. That was just weird. Sorry, mate.
Booed on and booed off.
Indeed. Yeah. Second one, we're in Leeds, got the big sort of like the big intro. We sit down, big round of applause. It's all good. Just before Marcus, like, just as he's intaking the breath he needs to say the first word, I hear some guy in the front row go, "Leeds are in." And I think about that all the time.
Arms folded.
We're in Leeds more so.
Yeah. Front row, arms folded, wasn't it?
Yeah. And the last one was after the show in Newcastle, where we walked past the kebab shop that had a punching machine in it.
Yeah, in Newcastle. And we ended up in a late night Greggs, didn't we? Anyway,
for
more of that kind of stuff, and I will apologise because that section went on rather longer than I expected. RambleLive.com to get the few remaining tickets at a show near you. We're playing all over England, starting on the 26th of September at Hackney, culminating at the start of November in Salford. Two shows in Salford, actually. That'll be lots of fun. So ramblelive.com to make sure you don't miss out.
Right, let's talk about the Premier League.
Why not?
I think the thigh rubber this weekend is Manchester United hosting Leicester City.
I agree with that. I think that's absolutely
right. Hazard Maguire against Jamie Vardy. Mm. Come on!
Tasty. I mean, Vardy will definitely be on the sledging with that, won't he?
I think there's a good chance he's taking it personally. I think it's a good chance that Jamie Vardy has taken Harry Maguire furthering his own career.
Taking a step down.
Personally, yeah.
Yeah, I do as well. I think I think that this is the type of game that Brendan Rodgers will relish, because he is
a big game manager.
He's a big game manager, but he's a better tactician than Solskjaer. I think Leicester will win this game.
The question, Marcus, isn't that though, is it?
No.
The question is, what is the current level of honesty in Brendan Rodgers' group?
I think they are a very honest group.
They've been decent. I think they would obviously got a good away win at Sheffield United, and that's a place that is pumping.
Yep.
Open day of the season. They started off with two draws, didn't they? Wolves and Chelsea. Yeah. Mm. And they handily dispatched Bournemouth.
Yeah.
I think you have to say that Leicester are the form team going into this, and I think to the extent that Rodgers knows what his best team is, I think they're in good shape.
When Vardy, the way he took those goals against Bournemouth, that lob in particular.
That was beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Similar to the one against Liverpool in the season that they won the title.
I know. Yeah, I see what you mean. That was more...
It had that...
A bit more caressed against Bournemouth.
Yeah, but it had that confidence about it, didn't it? And Leicester is still unbeaten as well, and only Liverpool and Man City can say the same. And they're going to be a thorn in the side of a lot of teams. And you know what? If they keep this going, if they keep a little unbeaten run going and get a good result at Old Trafford, like... I mean, imagine the feel-good factor. They'll be thinking, can we do this again?
Yeah.
Can we surprise a few people? Are we back to being the most interesting, entertaining side in the league?
It could be.
The other big story of the weekend is surely going to be, will the big man himself head back to Spurs and get his Premier League account open in the Marcus the Marcus v. Pete Andros Townsend ongoing battle?
No, it's Palace v. Newcastle will be the...
He did play for Spurs.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. I think he'll get a hat trick.
Well, you can, I mean, obviously that's Betway have kindly put up a market for us on that. Check that out over at betway.com. Yeah.
Back to Manchester United. The good news for them is that, according to reports, Patrice Evra is back at the club completing his coaching badges.
Is that good news?
No.
Is he just going to get people, he's just going to run around screaming in people's faces?
I'll tell you what, Brexit chlorinated chicken can't come quickly enough.
It'll be in the canteen, just licking everything.
I think he'll be in, I don't know, the kit bag. He'll reel in and Solskjaer's about to do his team talk and suddenly there's a lot of noise. He'll just blah, blah, blah. I love this game! Yeah. He's like, not now, Patrice. Crying out loud. But big Veng. Arsene Wenger has written off Manchester United's title chances.
Wow, how bold. Wow.
Yeah. He's now looking at becoming FIFA technical director, isn't he?
Good. You're joking.
Happening. Yeah. Did you not see that?
Would you not take that?
I would.
Oh, I think he's
steady hand
of the
tiller.
Official.
I think I'd like to see him as president.
Great, imagine.
Yeah, great appointment.
Andy Cole has said that Manchester United won't win the league for a few years at least. So he's going a bit further than Wenger.
The thing with Wenger's saying he's writing off Man United's chances of winning the Premier League this season.
Mm. Only now.
In a way that he was singularly unable to do for most of his Arsenal career.
Yeah.
But I feel you had a hand in that every
time. Yeah. You got to give him that one. At some point, surely Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is going to put his hands up and go, sorry, none of us are under the illusion that we're going to win the title. Like, what are you talking about?
That was very much not on the table when we began this season.
Maybe a cup.
Could win a cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be a good game, though.
Oh, it's going to be a beauty. I can't believe it's Saturday at 3 o'clock. I would like that to be televised. Thank you very much.
I thought you would.
Okay, well, have we got any sway over that at this late stage?
This game is going to be televised. Look, Norwich at home to Manchester City. Mm. The Canaries host the champions.
They do.
How will they approach this one, Jim, considering their experience at trying to go toe-to-toe with Liverpool?
I have a statistic from is it right, Game though? Internet. Well, it's from the Premier League's website. So
fine,
it's
but
not
that's fine. That's
yeah. Norwich have faced the most open play shots in the Premier League this season, 54, and conceded the most open play goals, 9, while Man City have attempted the most shots in open play, 62, and scored the most open play goals, 13. This is going to be 6-0 to Man City. Yeah. That's my prediction. I know it's a mug's game predicting things, but this feels like one of those City, like, you know, masterclasses in the making.
This is the type of game where you think, we've enjoyed Norwich in the Premier League. We're glad they're up. They're quite a likeable side. And we admire the open approach and whatnot. But this is the type of game where you have to say, all right, we may have to change our style. We may have to respect the opposition.
I reckon they will.
I know. And thus, Jim's prediction will come true.
I do think they might have an ace up their sleeve. Sleeves?
Fucking nobody talks today. Marcus is almost trying to say Shola Amiobi when he mentions any footballer. Yeah. Luke can't speak, and Jim's doing this now.
So they might have a face up this.
Do you want me to bring Pikachu in here?
Yeah. Well, I think it's Daniel Farker's real voice, right? Oh. There's no way that's his real voice. I think it's like, you know, that character in Police Academy where she's really, really quiet and really slight, but then she goes mental and scares everyone. Surely that is in that man's locker.
Yeah.
It's got to, if it's going
to
come out, surely now's the time.
He's like the League of Gentlemen character, Her Lip.
Yes.
Mm. Which is enjoyable. But both these games, by the way, Norwich Man City and the Man United Leicester game, are Betway 4 to score games. We'll come on to that later.
But I suppose the big question with regards to the Norwich versus Manchester City is, who is going to do better at the topics? Remember the topics? Daniel Farker? Always used to say at the topics. He would refer...
No? Tell us more. I don't remember that.
We talked about this only about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He said, it's a long time in football podcast.
Adult.
I've been editing live show videos, mate.
The topics.
With you boys drinking habits.
Is this in a press conference?
Something like that. He was saying about we did the topics very well. We covered the top. We were very good at the topics. Which presumably one of the topics
bullet points
was
on his training
defending
schedule.
Yeah, exactly.
Very German.
Indeed, it is. So.
By the way, have we seen Delia this season?
Yes, we have.
Have we?
In the crowd.
I haven't seen her, I don't think.
No, I haven't.
I don't really watch Match of the Day. Match of the Day are the ones who go for that kind of stuff.
And
we're
playing Norwich on the 31st of October.
Mm. Exactly.
I wonder if we'll have a no Delia then.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We also did press for BBC Radio Norwich, Marcus and I, the other day.
We did.
And obviously we wanted to be really positive about Norwich because we want people to come and see us, and we still do. On. So do come and see us play in Norwich on the 31st of October, Halloween. But we had to be really positive about them. And then you look at the fixtures, you're like, oh God, they're playing Man City.
Yeah.
What were we going to say? But yeah, so I'd like to see more Delia, to be honest.
I think that was very laboured, Marcus.
Mm. Another one.
Yeah. Could be more conservative.
I could have been. Perhaps more liberal.
Vanilla. Pika pika.
Yeah. Did you see, while we're on the subject, sort of Manchester City, Vincent Kompany's testimonial?
I watched some of it last night. Yeah,
through injury.
It was a properly contested match. It wasn't one of those daft little testimonials.
Did you see that Paul Scholes pass?
I did.
Beauty.
Did you see him snapping at the heels of various individuals?
But has anyone ever seen Paul Scholes do that before? Because that's a flashy move from Paulie Scholes.
Have you ever seen Paul Scholes play?
No, but it was like a no. Look, no leg pass. It was like
no leg pass.
He managed to kick the ball
that's
in completely
header.
Different direction. I've never seen anyone do that before.
Power of his mind.
I can't believe he did that.
The first thing I liked, you could have predicted this a mile off. Craig Bellamy subbed on. Nicky Butt, bang, straight in.
On the verbals.
Probably a red card. Yeah. It's a testimonial. I like that most people will view a testimonial game as a chance of a bit of fun.
Yep.
Nicky Butt's right, no chance of getting sent off here. Yeah. Like red card, also, be a testimonial.
There are scores I can only settle now.
Yeah. Did company come on and score a penalty like they do when...
No.
What?
That's
nobody,
what I mean.
Dived. No. Nobody dived for like a Shearer X kind of appearance.
It ended 2-2 and Benjani got a last minute equaliser for Man City. And essentially that Premier League All-Stars team was very heavily populated by Manchester or former Manchester United players. Mm. And this is the point about that testimonial. It wasn't played in a testimonial spirit. Like, teams wanted to win. It sounded quite good. Because sometimes you can see testimonials and you think, this is a waste of everybody's time. Mm. Well, not everyone's time. The 22 on the pitch are having a nice time.
I genuinely think Paul Scholes could still play.
Well, of course.
We did a ramble meets with an ex-Man United player. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. I won't spoiler everyone, but it's one to look forward to. And he was saying to me, I can't remember if he said it on the mic or not, but he was saying, you don't understand, Paul Scholes, he could never run. Mm. This asthmatic guy at the back of every shutter run you've ever seen. He never ran really that much. Mm. If that's the case, then surely he can still show a bit of value now. That's pop it around, do his thing. Mm. Do passes that confuse Pete Donaldson to such an extent that he can't even work out how it happened.
I had to have a sit down.
Manchester City have commissioned a sculpture of Vincent Kompany to be installed outside the Etihad Stadium.
They've also named a road in their training ground complex after him too.
Vincent Kompany Crescent.
Yeah.
Very a lot simpler than any footballer with hair, I guess, Vincent Kompany, because it's just easier to do, isn't it?
Should they get the guy who did the Ronaldo bust?
Should get
a discount for not having to do hair, because hair's the difficult bit.
It is a bit tricky.
Is there a weird Mike Lessian one? I can't remember. Was there one on a...
I think there was, yeah.
There's a weird Salah one, isn't there?
There's a lot of
the
very
Salah
bad
one
ones.
Looks like a weird baby.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of time for that one. Yeah. It looks like a troll.
There we are, you see. You're right, Luke. Let's have a bit of Betway's four to score, eh?
No, because we're talking about Fort William.
My answer
is simply no.
Okay.
They beat Cracknell Cud in 1-0-4, and I am quoting their own Twitter feed here.
Yep.
Their first win in 882 days.
That's class.
That's 29 months and 74 games. They've got a few players in on loan from Inverness, Caledonia and Thistle. Mm-hmm. And I've got a little bit of a bee in my bonnet about this, because Fort William have become the cause célèbre of football Twitter.
Yep. Right.
We were on this a year ago. Mm. We were talking about this, weren't we? Fort William are terrible. They kept getting beat 10, 11, 12 nil. So it's only fair that when they win a game, we actually mention it. Yeah. So good on them. Yeah.
Well,
fingers
done.
Crossed they can push for promotion this season.
Get them in European competition, I say.
All right, now I'll do Betway's 4 to score.
Fair play.
That's all right with you.
Absolutely.
4 to score entry is free. Betway's 4 to score entry. Just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches each round. If you're correct this week, you can win up to £50,000. Head to betway.com/4to score. That's /4 and then to score. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game, and further T's and C's apply. We, of course, do a game each. A couple of weeks ago, we did pretty well. Last week was international. That was a bit trickier. The week before that, we did pretty well. I think we got two, maybe. And all of our players scored. They didn't all just score first. Yeah. So,
although one was an own goal.
Yeah, that's true, actually. All of them scored apart from Pete, whose was an own goal from Chris Wood. Jim, you are first up. You've got Man United v Leicester.
Yeah, I've gone for Anthony Martial, and I have to admit, this is a pretty unscientific choice. Mm. I just feel like it's about time for him to get a goal. Do you know what I mean?
He's a
one in, like, I don't know what his exact stats are, but you feel like every four or five games, he's probably going to get one. And I feel like this might just, I don't know, I just got a feeling about him.
Mm.
I think he's probably not going to start, so that's a gamble.
I'm going to go for in the Norwich Man City match, Kevin De Bruyne.
Less of a gamble.
Mm-hmm. Less of a gamble. He's had a great international break. He's had a lovely time. He's had a great season thus far. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He needs a goal.
Yeah. Marcus?
I've gone for...
it's me next, sorry.
It is you. All right.
Bournemouth-Everton, yes. 2 o'clock Sunday on TV, live on Sky Sports. I've gone for Josh King.
Yeah,
sorry,
that's
Marcus.
Good. That's good. Yeah. Watford versus Arsenal. I've gone for Gerard Deulofeu.
Nice.
Talk to us a bit about that.
I think that, I'm not sure if he scored this season, but he's got goals in him. Watford needs something. They've just got the new manager.
Yeah.
They do.
And Arsenal are untrustworthy.
Yeah. And also, Danny Welbeck might well start for the first time.
Yes.
And the ex-player thing causing havoc could help.
Yeah, but I thought to myself, Deulofeu, I think he needs to show something this season to impress the new manager.
Mm. I'm going back to Jim's. When I say Martial probably won't start, he has been injured. But he's listed, I think he's currently listed as doubtful, but of course that could change. And he has scored already this season.
So he may come off the bench.
Maybe it's not as much of a gamble as I said. So that's betway.com/4 to score. Just go to that website to pick your first score in each of those four games for a chance to win £50,000. Of course, it rolls over if no one wins it. So check it out now. It's absolutely free to play. That's betway.com/4 to score and bet the responsible way.
Yeah, it is indeed. Now it's time for Going for Gold.
So and the time is right. It's time for you, for you to play the game. As people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for gold.
The email reads, going for gold, want to stop the Marcus steamroller, which I'm enjoying immensely.
Didn't I win last time? Nakata.
Yeah, but Marcus is having a lovely time, isn't
he's
he?
Winning.
Yours was an aberration.
Jim. That is motivation for me, that. I'm sticking that up on the dressing room wall.
Why can't you be like Peter Schmeichel? Jim. Jim Hughes has come in with this one. Thank you very much, Jim, for this. Extremely depressed Stoke fan here, so hopefully you can provide me some relief by giving me a moment in the spotlight with this offering. Number one, I was born in London in August 1986.
Stop.
You go.
I'm going to go David Bentley.
Incorrect.
Stop. Adi Akinfenwa.
Incorrect. I made my professional football debut in League Two in 2004 and my Premier League debut in 2006.
No way.
Stop.
He's got it.
Oh, no, it's not. It can't be. He's too young. Dele Alli.
Incorrect.
Stop. Nathan Ellington.
Incorrect.
Stop. Gordon.
Gordon
just
who?
Gordon now.
Yeah. No, Gordon the gopher.
Oh, Mr. Bennett.
Gordon, he's Brazilian.
I'll preempt this with an incorrect because I don't think this one's quite a difficult one.
Oh, okay.
I've made 37 full international appearances, scoring 2 goals.
Okay.
Stop. Wes Morgan.
Incorrect.
Nice, though. Like what you're doing.
That's not a bad guess, that.
Not a bad one.
Like what you're doing, Jim.
I have played for a total of 15 clubs in 8 different countries, winning domestic league titles in Scotland, Greece, and Brazil.
Whoa.
Ooh, that is an absolute
stop.
Ripper.
Isn't it? It's good,
sorry,
isn't it?
Scotland.
Stop. Jay Bothroyd.
Incorrect.
So where were they, sorry?
Scotland, Greece, and Brazil.
Blimey. Blimey, O'Reilly.
During a stint in the Eredivisie, I was dropped by my then Feyenoord manager and club legend Giovanni van Bronckhorst for a fixture against PSV after allegedly violently threatening a Dutch journalist.
Stop. John Bostock.
Incorrect. But lovely to hear
37 international caps, John Bostock.
Oh, yeah, good point.
This is weird.
It's good though, I'm enjoying it. I made 5 appearances at Euro 2008.
Stop. Colin Kazim Richards.
Oh!
Yes, Jim
Campbell.
Oh, wins.
Lord. I should have got that earlier because I actually once stayed at his parents' house after a wedding.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah,
lovely people.
In 2011, I crossed the notorious Istanbul divide, leaving Fenerbahce to move to Galatasaray. And the 250,000 fee for my first ever transfer was provided after Brighton fan won a competition led by a fizzy drinks manufacturer. Hence,
that would
my
have been
name
the one.
Being the Coca-Cola kid.
Yes, yeah, and he became Kazim, didn't he, when he moved to Turkey, I think.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay.
Why did you stay at his parents' house?
Because I was at a wedding with my then partner. It was quite far away. We were offered quite late on the opportunity to stay over rather than go all the way home. And they were very kind enough to offer. They just happened to be there. Lovely people.
Oh. Right. Bit breaking news before we get out of here.
Yeah. Right.
Oliver Kay has written a piece for The Athletic about Michael Owen and the... There's a bit of detail in there that says Michael Owen's mum controlled his bank account and paid his bills until he was 38.
Just leaving it out there.
I think we'll
present it without comment.
Yeah. Let's dissect that a bit more in the live shows.
Yeah, ramblelive.com. I'm also 38 and my mum does not pay my bills. No. I wish she would.
I've only watched 5 films.
Well, there we are.
All of them blues.
And I don't pay my bills.
All of them blues.
Thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Betway, everybody. Thank you, Luke Moore.
It's loud, isn't it?
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye.
Thank you, Jimmy Campbell.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners. We'll see you on Monday.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Shirt of footballrambleday.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.